Always worth saying's question time with you. Question time. The 22nd of January, 2026. A panel. Emily Thornberry, Labour. Stuart Andrew, Conservative. Leila Moron, Liberal Democrat. Greg Swenson, Republicans Overseas UK. The venue, Macclesfield. Labour MP for Islington South and Finsbury, Emily Thornberry, not her real name, Lady Emily Ann Nugie KC, is the legal bubble nepo daughter of international lawyer and one-time Assistant Secretary General to the United Nations and NATO consultant, Cedric Henry Reed Thornberry. Emily's husband is Sir Christopher Nugie, a High Court of Appeal judge, the son of a preeminent Chancery barrister and grandson of a brigadier. Mother Sally Kneebone, an honorary alderman, was the former mayor of Guildford, who twinned the respectable Surrey town with Mukono in Uganda. An unlikely union, unless, of course, this is what the champagne socialists have in mind for England. Eschewing a wooden hut beside a dirt track, her ladyship's London residence is a vast four-storey Islington townhouse, valued at £2.9 million in 2014. Despite having a property portfolio worth £4.6 million at the time, since 2010, Lady Emily has charged the taxpayer £263,982 in rent for her constituency office, a property owned by, the Labour Party. While iffy about private education, Leila Moron attended the exclusive £61,000 per annum Rodine before graduating in physics at Imperial College. A brief career in the independent sector followed, teaching maths and science at the £50,000 per annum International School of Brussels. The daughter of an English gentleman diplomat and a Christian Palestinian mother, her maternal grandfather was Wasif Jawahawa, whose autobiographical memoir is entitled The Storyteller of Jerusalem, The Life and Times of Wasif Jawahawa, 1904 to 1948. Despite the tale taking place only 40 miles from Gomorrah, his mighty work sits a rectum-wrenching 352,952 places behind the Marquis de Sade's 120 Days of Sodom on the Amazon bestsellers list. Self-defined pansexual Ms. Moron is in a relationship with ex-Lib Dem head of media Rosie Cobb. The interesting Ms. Cobb is famous for being sacked following claims of a fake email pressuring a website into taking down an article claiming the party sold voter data to the Remain campaign for £100,000 during the Brexit referendum. Last year, in carefully worded social media posts, avoiding mentioning who or a surrogate bore the baby, Leila announced the birth of her first child with her partner and added she would be enjoying 5 months parental leave from the House of Commons. Cock puffins, whose hens have laid, will be aware of 2 weeks statutory leave for fathers. Not so in Parliament. Reference to the rules shows that MPs are entitled to be absent from Parliament for up to 6 months on parental leave while receiving their full salary. Not only that, there is additional funding to hire temporary staff for constituency work. Shadow Secretary of State for Health and Social Care and the MP for Daventry, Andrew Stewart, parachuted there after his seat of Pudsey disappeared at the 2024 general election. Before first entering the House in 2010, the Anglesey-born 54-year-old had a career confined to the civil service and the charity sector. Openly gay and a patron of the LGBT plus Conservatives, when interviewed by the Belfast Telegraph, Andrew told of being the only gay on the island. I grew up in a very traditional community, a long way from any big cities, and I don't remember knowing any gay people when I lived in Anglesey, he noted, Furthermore, he recalled a horrific attack endured 20 years previously because of his sexuality. "We'd all gone out to the pub that particular evening," he said. "I left earlier than the rest of my family, and as I was walking home, I became aware that I was being followed by three men. A thumping was to follow." Times have changed. Or have they? Decades later, Andrew was headbutted and punched in a House of Commons bar during a disturbance created by Falkirk's finest, Scottish Labour MP Eric Joyce. The former army major was charged with three counts of common assault and stripped of the party whip after being detained by police following the incident in the House of Commons Stranger's Bar. Joyce spent the night in Belgravia police station and stood down from Parliament in 2015. 70-year-old Greg Swenson is a graduate of Boston College and Chicago's Northwestern University Kellogg School of Management. A husband to Mary Ellen, their two children are both in investment banking. Caroline with Goldman Sachs and Gregory with Morgan Stanley. Despite his introduction as the chair of Republicans Overseas UK, Greg is in reality a banker and a founding partner of Brigg McAdam. This is a London-based merchant bank specialising in frontier markets in agriculture, infrastructure and critical minerals. Make no mistake, when Mr. Swenson becomes dewy-eyed about maintaining world peace by building a golden dome in Greenland, he couldn't give a toss and is interested only in turning the resource-rich territory into the Congo of the Arctic for personal profit. Question one was the somewhat loaded, can we have a special relationship if Trump can't be trusted? For context, LaBruce referenced the Donald's comments on Fox News tonight. The president stated America's NATO's allies' contribution in Afghanistan was a little back, a little off the front line. Greg suggested Donald didn't have his facts in line. No matter what you think of the president's behaviour, the result is an increase in NATO defence spending. Emily pretended to be furious. This isn't a mistake, it's an insult. An insult to 457 British families who lost someone in Afghanistan. As is the Haddon Cave inquiry into British special forces in Afghanistan, she forgot to mention. How dare he, she squealed to applause. Say we weren't on the front line. How dare he, she repeated, as if a certain Ms. Thurnberg, confronted by a gush of carbon dioxide. How dare this man? He knows nothing. Seriously, the last few days have been shocking. Bully, rude, deliberately undermining us. We have said no. She then tried to take credit for lots of things that are not happening, as they don't have to happen, since the Donald is claiming a framework deal will grant him bits of Greenland anyway. Greg's response paraphrased to, Donald's not going to take any notice of you. A veteran spoke from the audience, saying he'd crossed the border into Iraq on day one, had been at the front and had seen things he didn't like to be reminded of. Which begs the question, presuming this was the second Gulf War, if the Americans are making a strategic mistake, why do we have to fight beside them? If there's no UN resolution and the invasion is based upon intelligence everyone knows is phony, then why? An audience member pointed out that Trump wasn't wrong about the underspending in NATO and Germany's over-reliance on Russian energy. A hippie reminded us that the Americans forced the Indians to sell their lands to the white man. Andrew Stewart began by thanking the veteran for his... Stewart Andrew began by thanking the veteran for his service and all of those who had served in Iraq and Iran. Not a reference to the useless Nazazin Zadiri Ratcliffe, but a slip of the tongue, quickly corrected to Iraq and Afghanistan. Trump's comments were appalling, but does that mean we risk our special relationship? No. Our relationship is with America, the country, not with Trump. But can he be trusted? Wondered LaBruce. Well, we're all talking about the security of the Arctic, and a couple of weeks ago we weren't, replied Stewart. No, we weren't, quipped Lady Thornbury. A couple of weeks ago, we were all talking about the president of Venezuela being kidnapped. Who needs enemies when you have friends like Donald Trump? Cringed Layla. Seriously, Lamoron continued, we're in school. He's a bully. It's been hard to watch David Lammy and Keir Starmer kissing Trump and Vance's hands over there. Trump's at it again. No, he isn't, interrupted LaBruce. He hasn't invaded Greenland. And the threatened tariffs have been withdrawn. But this is not the way grown-ups behave, squealed Layla like a five-year-old. It was Lady Emily's turn to kiss Keir Starmer's hand, praising how he'd stood up to Donald politely, while Donald got what he wanted anyway. Emily claimed much has happened behind the scenes, which is why the Prime Minister of Denmark dashed to London to thank Starmer for being bullied into giving up sovereignty over parts of the Danish kingdom. It's a high bar, but another gentleman in the audience claimed Trump is the most dangerous person in the world. A lady thought him a lone wolf doing what he wants. We've had this in history before, she added ominously. With no evidence at all, Lady Emily replied that in the US, the Congress and the Supreme Court are beginning to move against their president. A loon in the audience asked, how can we trust someone who has brought peace to Gaza and is partway through ending the war in Ukraine? Macclesfield's not quite the right parish, but it's not far off. The next contributor was one of Cheshire's ladies who lunch. Outsized dotted scarf, the hairdo, big glasses, confident South Manchester voice, retaining but the merest hint of council house. Donald is behaving like a businessman. Start by pitching high, she continued, as if quoting dinner conversation with her husband, who, one assumes, did rather well out of a cement mixing business. While the Chinese and Russians sit back with their popcorn, she concluded. LaBruce asked for a volunteer for a dangerous mission, well behind enemy lines. Would anybody make the case for Trump? Before a BBC audience? Balls of steel time. A brave or foolish whack raised her hand. Heavily disguised in tinted specs, a bad wig, turkey teeth and a tan. Or ambitious foot soldier said, he gets things done. One of the Cheshire ladies who relishes a suicide mission, she listed the various peace talks Trump is involved in and asked, what is Starmer doing? Repealing the Legacy Act, which protected our soldiers from being pursued through the course by Sinn Féin IRA. That's what Starmer's doing. And that, beyond the bluster on a panel show, defines what Lady Emily and her like really think about our servicemen and women.